You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's Sherlock After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sherlock After Show.
Hey there, Sherlock fans! Whoa, it's a loud intro. It's an aggressive intro for an aggressive episode of an aggressive podcast about an aggressive show about an aggressively intelligent detective. Hey there, lockheads. We're talking about Sherlock Season 2, Episode 2, The Hounds of Baskerville. It's totally catching on. Don't judge me for
using it. I like lockers better.
Lockers?
Yes. Sherlockians.
Maybe it's lockers that caught on. I don't remember.
No, lockheads.
I like lockheads.
All right, fine. We're talking about The Hounds of Baskerville. I'm Matt Lieberman. Join me on the panel. Of course, we got the fantastic and talented Miss Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, we got Yael Teagle.
Hi.
And Megan Salinas is here.
Hey, guys.
So, gang, it's been a while since I revisited this episode, and I've always appreciated it, mostly because of just how vastly different it is than the other episodes we've gotten. And a large part of that is even just visually being in a different place, getting out of London. I feel like London is as much a part of the show, is a character on the show almost. Mm-hmm. You know, it's big, it's bustling, you know, at times it can get a little grimy, a little gritty, you know, so to be out on the moor with this beautiful landscape, Sherlock looking miles out into the distance, already puts us in a different mindset for this very interesting take on what if Sherlock was tasked with facing the supernatural. What if Sherlock had to deal with a government conspiracy? We get to explore a lot of things that we don't normally get to. Chief in point, what if Sherlock saw something that caused him to doubt everything he knew?
And I like that because, you know, London, Sherlock seems so set in his ways. He knows order and whatnot. And then when you take him out of his comfortable element, he himself is thinking all these strange things. Different things, so like he's not used to it, and I liked how they played upon that and made the story for this Hound of Baskerville more interesting. I think it's the story of Hound of Baskerville. I've seen so many different versions throughout like my whole life,
yeah,
and then just growing up with knowing the story.
For those who don't know the original story, can you just give a quick primer on how that case plays out? Is this anything like it at all?
Yeah, they touch upon it, and I feel, you know, sure, like, they modernized it with computers and computer access, but in other renditions, Sherlock finds out from a painting on the wall and, like, little different things here and there, and then also, like, notes that were sent to him via newspaper clippings and stuff. So there are a lot of different things added that have been more modernized with computers and cell phones and whatnot. But the story, you know, it still plays out and it's still true to the original concept of everything that happens.
Okay. What did you guys think of this?
I know a lot of people, I think on Twitter and through the podcast, have told us that this episode and what's the one I can never remember?
The Blind Banker.
That episode. Those are everyone's least favorite episodes.
Sure.
And this one, I liked it. I really did. It's a very clear cut. You don't have to know anything about the characters or Sherlock. You show up. There's a mystery. They're gonna figure it out and discover what's going on. And it's gonna be just a great mystery with a resolve. There's no supernatural aspect. There's, you know, whatever. You don't need to know anything about this Sherlock world.
Okay.
And I love it.
Nice. So let's, Megan, anything?
Yeah, I was actually going to touch on that with The Blind Banker. And I think of a lot of the reasons why people like this better than The Blind Banker is because we do get so much emotion out of Sherlock, and that's something that's missing from that particular episode.
Yeah.
From last season. But I agree, this was a really fun episode, and there's a lot of elements of humor that I think worked a lot better in this episode than they have, you know, at other, you know, in the Blind Banker, I think a lot hit more home. There was a great change of pace with the change of location. So yeah, even though this isn't the best episode this season, like maybe A Scandal in Belgravia was,
obviously,
this was still a great way to mix things up, and it still had a lot going for it.
All it was missing was Irene.
I'll agree to that. Okay. Let's jump in. We're just going to try to take it piece by piece as best we can. We don't have a ton of time tonight. Sherlock comes home covered in blood with his harpoon.
That was tedious.
Yeah, he was on the tube because no cab would pick him up. And he is just bored and he is jonesing for a cigarette. He's doing so well, but he just can't help himself. And he is just tearing the apartment apart. He has paid off every shop that sells cigarettes in a 2-mile radius to not sell to him. He's taking it that seriously and now has serious doubts.
Mm-hmm. He even hinted at his other drug addiction, 7% of something, you know, which is, as we know, 7% of cocaine, which I thought was interesting, you know, just showing his addiction, how he literally just closed the case and like maybe 2 hours ago and he's jonesing for another one so fast.
Yeah. Well, he's an addict, and addicts always need something to fuel them. And if he can't have any of his normal vices, then a case is going to have to do the trick.
Yeah.
The only case, however, that he has is the case of Bluebell, the glow-in-the-dark rabbit.
Aww, and
he's
bunny.
Yeah, he's not you know, interested in that until he gets a visit from Henry Knight, the man out on the moor, who Doctor Who fans, of course, know as Alonso.
He's also from, Being Human.
The British version of Being Human, of course. Russell Tovey, he works a lot in the Britain. And he was out on the moor and what he saw was the same hound that he saw brutally kill his father when he was a boy. He was wandering out on the found wandering, and a dog scared the F out of him. And he's trying to tell his story to Sherlock, who just has no patience. And then Sherlock breaks him down in with military precision. I think once he realizes that this guy has tobacco on him, he's just toying with him till he can get him in a place where he will smoke and he can smell the smoke. And like, I mean, I used to smoke, and I still will sometimes stand near people who are smoking just because I miss the smell, you know. So this whole thing delighted me. And someone pointed out on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Drama Queen AM, I don't know, that we don't see a ton of text on screen in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The visual style for showing Sherlock's prowess is done very, very differently. We've got these colored lights that have words branded into them, but then also most of his deductions about people accompanied with no words on the screen. We get more clear images and more of Benedict Cumberbatch's performance. And I like this, the cleaned up version.
Yeah, yeah. And even though we didn't get a lot of flying words at us that we do every episode, we still got Sherlock breaking down a lot of random people in his normal Sherlock fashion.
He still had text flying and images flying, and but then later on when he's on the computer, that's when we get most of the text, and it's done in a very slow fade in and out kind of way. So it was a good change of pace.
So Henry, obviously very nervous guy. I love that he maps out this whole train ride, disappointing breakfast, girl chatted him up, he got a phone number, he was interested, now maybe he's not, spilling coffee, tobacco stains, all great. And he does this double fake out where he's like, oh, I'm sending John, I'm not going, but I am going because I'm investigating Bluebell. Well, I'm investigating your case. I didn't entirely understand what was happening at the end of this scene, but I'm happy that they got out to Dartmoor, and they're at this beautiful little rustic inn that only sells vegetarian cuisine. I guess they only did that so that they could have this red herring of the receipt.
Yeah.
With all the meat. I don't know. I'd be bummed if I went out into the country and all I could get was vegetarian cuisine.
I think what was really interesting, speaking of the red herring, is that John gets two red herrings.
He gets two red herring clues. He does some investigating this week and neither of the things pay off.
Poor John's like, I'm going to do it. I can do this. I've learned and fail both times.
At least he's trying. You know, he's trying to keep up with Sherlock.
I can't believe he hasn't given up by now.
Yeah. Well, it definitely gets difficult. You know, he finds Umkra, for God's sakes. He walks all the way out there only to find out that that's just where all the guys in town meet the prostitute, the town prostitute who comes to their cars. Was it like Mr. Sugar or like Mr. Susan or something?
I don't remember.
Of the man that she was with? anyway, they come to the village and, you know, they're scouting around. They find the Great Grimpen Minefield. And we get more, you know, are you gay questions from people.
Every episode.
It's a necessity.
Yeah, you can't let up. Now, once you've established a pattern, you can't stop. So they decide, we got to break into Baskerville. We got to know what's going on at this secret government facility. So Sherlock had lifted this ID card off of Mycroft, you know, ages earlier.
Right.
You know, just in case. And finally it pays off. And I love this sequence because it's again, it's playing with the formula. It is a classic, not quite a heist, but like, you know, we're casing a joint. We're somewhere where we shouldn't be. We only have 20 minutes. Get in, get out. And I like the jolt of electricity that brings, knowing that they're on the clock. Because normally, you know, the only clock that they have is like to save a life, but like to avoid getting caught when they're actually breaking the law is different.
24 minutes. Mycroft is getting slow. But I loved how visually how far we see Sherlock and them actually succeed, how many doors they had to go through, and just how far they actually went to get all that information. I thought that was fun.
And also that they show you every time he swipes the card and goes through the door, it sends a like, hey, is this supposed to happen?
It was really cool to see the technology side of it and to go, oh, yeah, like this is a military facility. Yeah. They are going to get in trouble if they're caught.
Oh, absolutely. And I loved seeing John pull rank.
Yes.
That was great. Effortlessly. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Lots of fun for John this week. They break in and they meet a couple of doctors. They meet Dr. Franklin, who, like, upon watching the episode back, I'm like, how did I not know this guy was responsible the whole time?
Yeah.
Because he's everywhere.
He's pretty...
It's because he came to their aid earlier on. You think, oh, this guy, we can count on this guy. He knows what's up.
He knows too much. Yeah. That's the problem.
We also got to meet Stapleton.
Yes. Dr. Stapleton. Yeah. And I love when the two cases join and he just throws up the little notepad. It says Bluebell, his slightly psychic paper, and it shows Bluebell, and she's like, "Do you know my daughter? What the hell?
That's
you
a question,
creepster.
Yeah, that's what you ask the strange man who knows your daughter.
Yeah, what the hell are you? What do you know about my daughter?
You have to be a little bit respectful because he is pretending to be Mycroft.
I guess.
So this is the man who is the British government.
That's true.
So even if it is raising a whole bunch of alarm bells and red flags, it's still somebody who owns you, essentially.
He's a strange man who knows your daughter.
It's creepy. I'm not trying to defend it. It's creepy. But, like, you also have to be tactful about it when you're going about it that way.
She was just so British about it.
So incredibly British.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to take a real quick second to talk about iTunes. Don't you dare skip. Don't you skip this.
This is important,
okay? You were about to skip, but now you haven't. And because you haven't, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, people. What'd you get? Did you get a nice tweet?
I got something that I'm going to share after you do this.
Okay. Here's the thing, people. We do this show because we love Sherlock and because we love interacting with you. We love being able to inform and entertain you on a weekly basis. It's honestly a real gift and a pleasure because you guys are the best fans on the entire planet. We issued a challenge not a week ago. That we said, you know what? We had 4 episodes left to do. We wanted to get to 75 ratings on the show before we finish our run. Now, we were around like 41 ratings last Tuesday. Today, we are at 65. You guys have done an amazing job. 5-star ratings. I couldn't ask for anything more. You guys are so amazing, and you left a lot of great reviews as well. I'm going to explain why these are so important. I know it. I do it every week, but just to be sure. The fact is, these are the only way that our bosses know that we are doing a great job, that we're connecting with an audience, and that they like what we're putting out and they want to see more of it. That way, more resources can be thrown our way. That way, we have better access to getting guests. It's the best way for other people who are looking for a great Sherlock podcast to find out which one they should pick. So anything you can do, it helps the cause, and it raises the water level, not just for this podcast, but for every show that AfterBuzz does. We're so happy to be a part of your lives. It really means a lot for you guys to give back and be a part of ours. It means a lot. And also, you get great shout-outs on the show. Now, I'm not sure if I read this last week, but I'm going to read it anyway. From Bellamel, really enjoyable podcast. So my favorite morning show was canceled, and my morning commute got boring. So after weeks of trying other morning shows, I finally just started listening to podcasts on my morning commute. This show is the first podcast subscription that they got, and nice. He or she is hooked. Great job, gang. So thank you, Bellamel. 5 stars from Raven Diva. Sherlock meets AfterBuzz. Finally. What the heck took so long? The hosts are fun and entertaining. The discussion is thought-provoking and upbeat. If I could give you guys 10 stars, I totally would. Excellent job, you guys. Aww. I am officially a Libra fan. Libra fan nation.
Hashtag Librafins. That was the official term,
hashtag
right?
Hashtag Librafins.
It's
love
a trending
it.
Thing.
It's trending. Great after show for a great show from MamPDX2. So glad to have finally found this podcast / YouTube cast. A very fun analysis. One of my favorite shows. And I'm delighted they're now going back to the beginning of the series. Love from Rosemary 42. I love Sherlock. I love your podcast. I have a question for you though. And we can talk about this question after we're done with shout outs. Last night I rewatched His Last Vow. Okay. Since this is a question about the third season, we're going to put it at the end of the show because some folks have been complaining about us giving spoilers. I know they're not spoilers because episodes have come out recently, mm-hmm. but for people who are starting from the beginning, we don't want to spoil it for them. So we'll talk about this question at the end. Remind me, please.
Okay.
So happy from Menaten Flow. Just started watch Sherlock. I was very happy to find this AfterBuzz show with Matt Lieberman. I love Matt and the other hosts for Sleepy Hollow. I will listen to any show with Matt. Just one suggestion, please, no spoilers about the other two seasons. Thank you.
Yeah, Matt, stop spoiling.
Okay, I'm sorry. I love everyone. Great show.
Him, he's blind.
Roger's Lex.
Super red.
I'm not good at receiving compliments.
All these comments have you in it.
Not all of them. This one doesn't mention me at all. Okay. Roger's Lex 24. All the hosts continue to be fantastic. Getting great insights and different points of view that I haven't thought of before. You always manage to magically cover all 90 minutes of this episode in 60 minutes. Thoroughly. Best podcast on the air. # we beat The Walking Dead.
Nice.
Barbat. 14, great podcast. Love this panel. RT and me, such a fun podcast. Matt can yell as much as he wants. I love listening to this podcast. If you're a fan of the television show, do yourself a favor. Rate the podcast. His face, though, fun. What a great show from Double Stewart. I'm sorry, I'm rushing through these. We have a limited amount of time tonight. And Alfie LJ, a necessity to help a suffering addict get through withdrawal. So thank you all so much for listening. Yeah. What did you get?
I just got, and I can't, it's not showing up on my thing, but Cuff something with three numbers, who is watching live in Australia.
Oh,
and
hey there.
It's hello. Their 18th birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yo. You rock, okay? Go you.
Go out and celebrate.
Australia.
Yeah.
Nice. Tweet at me again, and I will read your name. It disappeared.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
happy birthday.
And special shout out to Sam Hynix.
Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah,
I'm not quite
Arthur.
Sure.
He's sick, apparently.
Right. A little under the weather, so get well soon.
Yeah.
Get
well. So a friend of the show. Okay, so let's jump back in.
Mm-hmm.
After they finally get out of Baskerville, just in time, thanks to the assistance of Dr. Franklin, who gives Sherlock his cell number,
mm-hmm.
they go out to Doers Hollow in the middle of the night to face the demon that Henry is so afraid of.
To Doers Hollow?
To Doers Hollow. Doers. What did I say?
No,
is it Dowers? Or?
It's Doers.
Okay.
Doers Hollow. The home of the devil. Doers Hollow.
It's a creepy hollow.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's a creepy hollow.
It is. It's a creepy place.
Is it a sleepy hollow?
No, it's not a sleepy hollow.
It's does look like someplace that would be in
a creepy,
a sleepy-esque hollow.
Okay, come on. Limited
Moving
time.
On.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, as happens in hollows, they get separated. John's mm-hmm. off by himself, sees Umkra, and Sherlock and Henry go down into the hollow where the fog is spreading, this gas is spreading, and they see the Hound. And it freaks Sherlock out, and we get that great, like, almost reverse crane shot as it's being pulled up to the top of the ridge, and he's hearing it, and he's seeing it, and he's freaked out, he's terrified, but he refuses to admit that he saw it.
Yeah, I think, like, the use of that cinematography, that just shows that this thing is above Sherlock. It's the only thing that's really has gotten, like, has tapped him in, mm-hmm. in any mystery that he doesn't solve. He's underneath it. He can't figure it out yet.
Mm-hmm. He can't figure it out, and they wind up back at the hotel, and Sherlock is thoroughly, thoroughly shaken. Mm-hmm. For the first time in his life, or at least in a very long time, he doubts himself, he doubts his intellect, he doubts his own mind, and we get this amazing classic scene in the cafe where he's kind of sipping his drink, and John's trying to break through, and Sherlock is just shutting him out entirely and then feels the need to prove himself. Mm-hmm. So he has this, like, three-page monologue in, like, a minute.
All these people.
Who was it who said, maybe it was a Twitter thing, maybe it was one of you guys who said, next to the monologue, in parentheses, Mark Gatiss wrote, "Sorry, Benedict."
That was somebody on Twitter. And I think they also mentioned that Benedict has said that Sherlock's mind works way faster than Benedict can talk.
Yeah.
So that's completely understandable in this scene.
Totally. Yeah. He's talking so fast, it's like word bullets ripping through these people as he completely tears apart this woman and her son who's trying to get money from her. And it's a classic moment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, John runs off, you know, he's PO'd, he sees the light blinking. He's like, "I'm going to find out what this is, prostitute."
What is Umkra?
Yeah. Which ultimately becomes a very important thing as Sherlock figures out what's going on here. It helps him figure out that it's an acronym, that Hound's an acronym. I love what happens next. As John's walking back, he gets a text from Sherlock that's like, you know, "Henry's therapist is at the bar. So, interview her? Why? Why would I?" And then he texts him a picture. He's like, "Ooh, you're a bad, bad man." That John Watson is one randy bachelor. The man likes the ladies.
I think it's more that he's always getting C-blocked by Sherlock.
That's true. C-blocked by Sherlock.
Yeah.
Sure-blocked?
He's being sure-blocked, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Hashtag sure-blocked.
Well, I mean, and Sherlock's the type of person that's going to invite himself on one of John's dates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Thus, yeah. C-blocking.
Yes, sure-blocking. So, he goes down to the bar, and without really saying who he is, he starts chatting her up and trying to get information about Henry. Only to have Dr. Franklin come over and totally Sherlock him by revealing that he's a huge liar and that he's on a case and that he's just been chatting her up just to get information. No love. Sorry, Dr. Watson. No time for love.
And that's why he's a randy bachelor.
That's why he's a randy bachelor, because he keeps getting Sherlock.
It's always so heartbreaking to see with John, because it's like, ah, no, just find a nice girl.
Yeah.
We just want him to get laid.
Right. And now, and we can't talk about season 3. That's
not yet.
Isn't that so strange to not be able to talk about it?
Well, it's really difficult, too, because you can't not know something that you already know.
That we're already given
spoilers. Yeah, and the thing is that Watson's always hanging out with Sherlock, and Sherlock mentions it himself. He's quite the loner. He doesn't have friends. So if you're going to constantly be with someone who is very, you know, not sociable, you know, John's going to... That's going to affect John's life, too. So he's not going to have anyone around him.
And maybe he's just tired of constantly getting accused that he's gay.
He just wants someone. I don't believe...
Not accused.
Not accused. Labeled. But labeled, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Okay. So...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just, it's Alexander Cuff. Cuff 444. Birthday.
Alexander Cuff!
Happy birthday.
Moving on.
So, in the morning, Sherlock goes to Henry's, and he's got an idea. Mm-hmm. And he runs in, And he's like, I'll make you a coffee. Fancy a coffee, runs in, steals some sugar, and then totally just bails without making a coffee.
Which seemed totally, like, normal to me. I didn't even consider that he was doing something.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, he's just being rude.
Watching. No, I thought it was out of place, but it was kind of like Sherlock's way of being nice after what just happened the night before. And then that was just Sherlock's nice way of saying, I'm sorry for what happened. Here's some coffee that I made you. I mean, when does Sherlock ever do something for someone else?
That's very true.
Yeah.
I, watching this, I didn't think anything about it the first time through. I thought, I was like, oh, when he's making the coffee for John. I totally thought the first time through, he was like, okay, he's learning. He's learning. He said something very hurtful and he's trying to make up for it like he did with Molly in the previous episode.
Not a bit.
And then watching this the second time, I'm like, you are a bad friend. Shame on you.
Shame on you, Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, I could hear Mrs. Hudson's voice. Oh, we need to bring up Mr. Chatterjee. Mr. Chatterjee's got the two secret wives, and she totally is berating him. Oh, Mrs.
Hudson. I don't know about you guys. Mrs. Hudson is one of the very few people I would never want to mess with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah.
Ever. No.
She got Sherlock to make sure that her husband died in prison. Jesus. Yeah, so Greg shows up. And is labeled as Greg for the very first time in the series.
Traveling incognito. Mm-hmm. Why else would you be calling yourself Greg?
That is his name.
Brown is a nut. He just returned from holidays on another holiday because Mycroft wanted someone to check up on him.
Right.
And they use him to their advantage when John pulls out his little receipt from his pocket. Mm-hmm. And we discover that the hotel owners, in an attempt to drum up business, had gotten a dog and were just feeding it. And that was the hound. It was just a dog.
Honestly, watching this episode, I remember the first time seeing it. There's the guy giving the tours. There's the little inn and their dog. And I was like, why isn't there more of this? Like, these are smart people. They want tourists. They want business. Why aren't more people doing this?
Because this isn't Scooby-Doo.
And we would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for that meddling detective.
Yeah. I mean, I just expected more people to have just giant dogs everywhere in this town to throw you off.
Well, I mean, if they did it first, then you don't need multiple dogs.
Well,
you're talking about you want a conspiracy of multiple people,
like
trying
something
to keep
Hot
this alive.
Fuzz style where the whole town's in on it or something.
I guess.
But the
spoiler for Hot Fuzz.
Thanks.
What? Thank you very much. But the thing is, like, this story, they make a very specific dog, a black mastiff, a big hound.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have more than a few dogs, then you're going to obviously pinpoint, oh, it's this dog, not the other ones.
Well, I don't know. I just expect, like, if you've ever been to, you know, Roswell, there are people with their little alien stores everywhere trying to get you to buy alien crap.
Right. But
so
I feel
in
like
this town,
all aliens versus one murder from one hound.
Well, and this is, you know, I think it was the television special that aired that was really prompting this tour stuff to begin with.
Yeah.
And so it was a fairly recent thing.
I'm just saying, if I had a town where something cool like that happened, I would be one of those people who'd open a like themed inn.
Who would open like a ghost tour type thing.
Yeah.
That would be really fun.
Well, now we know that you take advantage of people and their curiosity.
Yep.
And that you value the almighty dollar above all of other things.
Yeah.
You found your true calling, yo.
Yeah. Duh.
Okay. So they go back to Baskerville, and Sherlock talks Mycroft into getting him 24 hours uninterrupted access. And he talks to Major Barrymore about, you know, getting this very specific kind of access. Well, he sends John down to the lab to look for the hound. And then John's wandering around and he stumbles through this room that says, if you go in there, you're going to get a cold. And I'm like, why doesn't he have a cold now?
That's the greatest sign ever.
Right. And I'm just like, when you see that sign, you don't open that door, you big dummy. There's going to be a cold. Well, that's why, because he was developing this instead of the cold stuff. Anyway, so John gets dosed with the toxin and he's wandering around and suddenly he's locked in this lab and it's just bright lights everywhere and there's a hound and he's terrified. He's on the phone with Sherlock. And then to get the reveal later and to watch John running around in this ordinary empty lab and Sherlock is watching it is just the funniest thing.
John's totally tripping as he's running through the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like
this episode.
Activity.
It really touched upon now the friendship of Sherlock mm-hmm. and John. Now they're at the point where they're literally just joking around with each other and playing all these mean tricks.
Oh yeah!
And then earlier we had the bet.
The bet is like I believe we said 50. You know,
yeah.
It's like fine. You're gonna rope me into this 50 yeah. quid, please. I loved that, and they discover that it's this toxin. Just in time as Henry is going bananas.
Oh, man.
He's got a gun in his hand. He almost shot his therapist, who, even though she hates John, somehow got his phone number in the mix of their whole tete-a-tete.
You know he gave her.
He led with the phone number because she walked away before he could give it.
He probably, because I'm a friend of
Henry's. Yeah.
I care and I'm worried about him.
Here, take my
Here's
number.
My
number.
Please sit down, and then that's how that worked. What did you guys think, just real quick, of the scene where the hound is in, or what looks like the hound is in Henry's backyard?
Oh my God, so scary!
That was creepy.
With the lights flashing.
With the lights constantly flashing.
That was like pulled straight out of a horror thriller movie, mm-hmm. in which I thought it was awesome. It was so simple, but the scary lights of just turning on and off, and then sound effects that you don't know,
and then
what
all
it
of
is.
A sudden, just the bang on the glass
yeah,
door.
They really played upon the audience's suspicions and stuff like that, and the suspense.
There was wonderful suspense.
Awesome.
Then, you know, they chase him down to Dewar's Hollow, where he's got the gun ready. He's going to off himself once and for all because he's being driven insane. Mm-hmm. And, they meet him just in time to try to convince him that the hound isn't real. They're all being exposed to the gas, and they see the hound, and it's huge, and it's demonic, and it's got the red eyes. And unfortunately, John shoots it on its way down, and it's just a regular dog. It's just a sweet little pup. It's just a pooch. They killed it because of Franklin, who comes out wearing his gas mask, looking like a demon or like something out of Fallout 3.
Are you my mummy?
Yeah.
Or that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Henry tries to kill him. He killed his father. You know, we find out he was a member of the team
at Liberty, Indiana,
at Hound, trying to make this drug.
Hound, for those who missed it, is the last names Hansen, O'Mara, Uslowski, mm-hmm. Nader, and Dyson.
Mm.
Hound.
Dyson. That's a Lost Girl reference.
I got
even,
it.
Don't even trip, Sherlock fans. We're not going to do any more of that. So, yeah, so we catch our evil perp, or we were about to, when he runs away right into the Great Grimpen minefield, and the biggest explosion I could have ever imagined from a single mine just goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a mammoth explosion that actually looked pretty practical. I don't know if that was like a real explosion or a fake explosion, but it looked great.
It's probably special effects upon a real explosion.
Yeah.
To make it twice as big.
Yeah. But justice is served. Hopefully our daring heroes got paid a whole bunch because Henry is rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of the whole episode is when John's like, are you rich? Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful sense of tact.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything just kind of gets wrapped up real tight once Watson finds out that Sherlock did all that stuff to him, and we fade to black until we fade up on Moriarty alone in this cell in this insane asylum looking thing, and he's released and he's just scratched Sherlock into every surface of this thing.
Well, who released him?
That's the question. Why was he caught? Who released him?
But why would you let a psychopath out?
That was exactly what I was screaming at the screen the first time I watched this. I was like, one, how did you guys catch him? Two, why are you letting him go?
He's got powerful allies.
Did we not see Mycroft?
Sherlock's name is literally written all over the place. You know he's obsessed with someone. Why would you let him out?
Did I hallucinate this or did not Mycroft let him go?
No, I don't think it was Mycroft.
He wasn't in the room, but I could have sworn it looked like Mycroft looking in from the room next door.
Yeah.
Which means that he must have caught him using the stuff that was on Irene's phone as evidence and was able to find him, track him, let him... And capture him, but why they let him out, I honestly can't imagine.
I'm like, why are you doing that? Stop him, stop him, stop him. Send him back into the room. Put him in a straitjacket. He is insane.
Jerks. Okay, the way that I think we're going to do this now, does anyone have any more points that they want to make?
Just one.
Yeah.
I just want to point for the Whovians out there that the woman, the TV reporter from the documentary Way in the Beginning, is Chipo Chung, who played Chanto in Utopia, and the fortune teller in Turn Left, and it was great to see her again.
Chan, that's great news, though.
Thank you. Yeah.
And also the hound that they actually used and that the whole climax scene with that, it was so animated, you can tell, and I think that was like the really fake
part of the point to make it. It's like this really isn't real.
It's not real, but in other adaptations of Hounds of Baskerville, they actually do use dogs for the story, and they just put, like, to make them look radioactive, they put this, I don't know, green kind of coating over them to make
gross.
Them, like, make look them. Like feral and wild and that kind of thing. So yeah. I liked how this new version of Sherlock, they went the animated way. Very modern. Yeah.
So, yeah. There was one thing. I really did like how Greg looked like he was having fun getting to be
part of
the investigation this time. He looked like he was just having a ball.
Of course he was. Scotland Yard, man. He gets to finally, you know, not throw some punches, but throw his weight around. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Go, Greg. Okay, so I think we're just going to give our contact information now, and then we're going to address this this question so we have a spoiler wall. Is that all right?
Yes.
So, Marissa, where can the people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV. That is SerafiniTV.
Okay, and Yael?
People can find me online at yael.tv. That's YAEL.TV. And on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL.
Okay, Megan?
You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. And you can find me all over the place. That's not important. So just consider that a spoiler wall if you don't want to...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah.
Thank you.
Spoiler alert!
If you have spoiler yet to watch alert. Season 3, you don't want to know anything about it,
then
you should end it right now.
We'll miss you.
We have one more episode that we're taping tomorrow, and I apologize. We started a little late today, and that's why we kind of had to power through at just a massive pace. We're going to try to give Reichenbachfall the time that it deserves because it's a really wonderful episode. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this question from Rosemary 42. In his last vow, near the end, when they are deciding what to do about Sherlock, a man accuses Mycroft of having familial emotions, and Mycroft responds that he should know him better and that he knows, quote, what happened to the other one. Did anyone else catch this? What do you think he's referring to? Another Holmes sibling? Is Irene Adler a sister? Moriarty a brother?
No, they did. I believe he said that it was a reference to another Holmes brother. I think that's what it was. It's been a little bit, you know, going through the season, I'm forgetting.
Right, it's a little hazy.
But I believe he said the other Holmes brother. And so it sounds like there was another Holmes brother, but we don't know what happened to him.
I think we definitely touched on this when we did the podcast. I remember speaking about it. And I agree. I think there's another Holmes brother. And I believe in the article that I tweeted out about the relationship with Mycroft and Sherlock, there is mention of possibly a third brother. I think it's in that article.
Okay.
So go through my Twitter and find that.
Marissa, any thoughts?
I'm going to go with them.
Okay. I'm very curious, for it to be Moriarty would be a massive departure from the established canon. Well,
and a lot of people have been commenting at the end of season 3 that Moriarty actually had a brother. I don't know if that's true.
That is true from the books.
So that there's potential that Moriarty's brother is a part of this whole setup where it looks like he's back.
Right.
But is he really? We don't know.
Okay. Well, these are all interesting questions. I mean, we're all dying for a season 4. Hopefully it doesn't take 2 years to get it. We only have one more of these shows left. I'm going to miss doing them. I really, really enjoy doing these with you guys.
There's a lot of Sherlock stories out there, though.
I know. There's a lot of Sherlock stories. It would be cool to do some kind of book club. I don't know if that's a thing. But
cover the Jeremy Brett versions.
Yeah.
Someone I think mentioned that on Twitter. I don't know where I got that idea. It was one of the fans.
That's a great series as well.
Thank you. Okay, that's all for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for downloading, streaming, watching, listening. You're all the greatest. We have one more show to do tomorrow. We got one full day to get us up to 75 ratings. Go do it. It's fast. Click, 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 click. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.